Hey guys, welcome to Overflow with Oprah, where we talk about discovering ourselves, growing with faith, and finding hope through life's challenges. I'm your host, Oprah Zeon. So get comfy, grab a drink, and let's dive in. Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Overflow with Oprah. Of course, I'm your host, Oprah Zeon, and we have a very special guest here to come and share with us her journey from New Age to Christianity. And I'm so excited for us to just go through all the twists and turns of her story. So let me introduce you all to Tiffany Macy. Hey, girl.
Hi. Hey, everybody.
How are you?
I am good.
Okay. Well, I just want to start off by just telling you thank you for just taking time to just come on this podcast, for your vulnerability to just share your story. I know that this is something that is very touching, so I just appreciate you. I really do.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yes. And so I have never experienced this or the things that you have experienced, so I'm just here to hear your story, and I'm just praying that it helps at least one person out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm ready. Okay.
So I want to know, first and foremost, what is New Age?
So New Age can be described as so many different things. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say it's just like a form of spirituality. Okay. You hear a lot of people say, I'm not religious, I'm mm-hmm. spiritual. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of equate New Age with following the like astrology, okay. or using crystals, or balancing chakras. Think about using pendulums.
What is a pendulum?
A pendulum, you hold it with a weight on the bottom, mm-hmm. and you ask questions, and that's okay. how people get their answers. You ask questions, and I guess if it swings this way, it means one thing. If
okay.
it swings that way, think about a magic eight ball like that.
Okay.
But it swings.
Okay.
And you keep
okay.
your hands still. I've used them like okay. several times. I have like a few of them.
Okay.
So pendulums, New Age can be with candles. Mm-hmm. So there's different candles that, you know, equate to certain things.
Okay.
You can perform rituals where you know, recite certain things and you take baths in certain herbs. You use herbs a lot for different healing methods. A lot of incense, a lot of Palo Santo. Like
what's Palo Santo?
So when you use sage first, to get rid of bad spirits in the air, mm-hmm. to get rid of bad things around you, to get rid of any demonic things around you. That's what the sage is for. Then you come behind it with Palo Santo, which is kind of like a wooden stick that has different, it has like a smell to it too, just like sage
okay.
when you burn it. And that's supposed to bring in good energy.
Okay.
So you do the sage first with all the doors open to get rid of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Then you close the doors and then you do the Palo Santo to bring all the goodness in.
Okay.
That's the methodology with that.
Okay.
New Age is it's to me, it just means going against all types of formal religions. You have so many different religions.
Yeah.
And New Age is like, I don't want any parts of that. So I want to do this. And a lot of New Age things, mm-hmm. they are centered around your own self.
Okay.
That you can do things. You can manifest things. You can create your own success story. You
so
can create your own thing.
Is it like visualization? Like you visualizing mm-hmm. things? Like mm-hmm. different, I guess self-help stuff like that?
A lot of people use the self-help. Mm-hmm. In their spiritual journey.
Okay.
You read a lot of self-help books. Mm-hmm. You read people who like laws of attraction to attract things to you.
Okay.
Just something, I feel like New Age is really something that is not religion based. It's just something that's very far removed from any type of organized religion.
Okay.
And it's they call spirit, so they speak to spirit or the universe, the planets, the stars,
the trees,
the earth. They
so
ground
Mother
themselves.
Nature. Okay.
Yep, they ground themselves in the earth, things like that.
Okay, well, thank you for that background on New Age for a lot of people who don't know what it is. So now I want to know, what brought you into New Age? What was going on in your life?
Well, I grew up in church.
Okay.
I'm talking about 3 times a week church. Like, my mom was in the choir. My parents, we were avid visitors. We members, everything. Summer camp, all of that.
Wow.
All of my my uncles and aunties, they're all devout Baptists. My great-grandma, my great-grandfather, he was a pastor. My grandmother, my dad's mother, like, everything was about church.
Yeah.
Everything was about Jesus. Everything was about God. I knew the books of the Bible at, what, 6? How to say them in chronological order.
Wow.
Yeah, like...
Girl, I don't even know yet. I'm gonna learn it.
we were a choir that we at the drop of a dime, my great grandmother would be like, sing this song. And we would,
yeah.
So that's how we grew up. And for like a long time, that's all I knew.
Yeah.
I never had like my own walk or my own relationship. I don't think I've ever had my own relationship with Jesus, really. To be honest, like,
yeah,
as a child, as a teenager in my 20s. Then when I turned 28, I went to prison.
Okay.
So I went to prison, and it was when I was in prison, it's like Jesus, like God, like we had this falling out. And the reason why is because, well, I felt like you put me here, but it wasn't him.
You felt like God put you in prison.
Mm-hmm. And didn't want to let me out.
Yeah.
Like, you know how you pray and you pray. And when you're not on a real faith walk, you don't know what the heck you're doing.
Yeah.
Really. So I was praying and praying, praying, please let me out of here. Just like he's a magical genie.
Yeah.
You know, I'm praying, 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 and I didn't get out.
How long are you in prison?
I got out early because of overcrowding. So they let out nonviolent and non-drug-related people. They let them out early. So I only did 5 months inside of the prison. Then I did the rest of the time, almost 3 years on
probation.
Parole. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, okay. Is probation and parole the same thing?
Yeah. They're pretty much the same thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, since you did mention that, what took you in just briefly to prison, if you don't mind?
Well, I had a serious DUI. I was pulled over and I had, this is so hard to explain. It's financial crime.
Okay.
That's what it was.
Okay.
So that's what I was. The whole situation is hard to explain because it's a lot that happened.
Yeah.
And then when you're very, very intoxicated, some things come back later.
Okay.
When you're like, oh, that's what was going on because I was so, so, so drunk.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's financial crime. So that's what I went to prison for.
Okay.
So while I was there, you know, I'm praying, and I didn't get what I was praying for.
Yeah.
So it's like we had a falling out. Then I met some girl while I was in there, and then I was like, oh, I'm gay now. So I became a lesbian while I was in prison.
Okay.
And this was in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And then I really was upset at him because, oh my gosh, why would you do that to me? Why would you make me a lesbian? You don't even. What the heck? What's going on?
Yeah.
You know, I'm upset. So we had this falling out. We had a falling out for 12 years. I did not like. We broke up.
Yeah,
me and God, we broke up. And fast forward, when I was with my last partner, Erica, she didn't really grow up in the church like I did. Not like very, very faithful like that. But she started getting into New Age things. She started getting into crystals and being very, very serious about the different types of crystals, what they can do, you know, learning about the New Age things and basically educating me.
Yeah.
So it was during that relationship, this is around 2019, 2020-ish, where I started really getting into it because she was into it.
Okay.
And we're a couple, and it's like, oh, finally, have something that makes sense to me. Because as a lesbian, especially with Christianity and with God, Jesus talking about, you know, with the Bible saying what it is, it's hard to be like, oh, I want to be part of that, or I want to stay in this, you know, in the church or anything like that. I want to stay. It's hard to say that when it's like you get pushed out because of your sin, right?
Well, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. So being that you said you became a lesbian, you're in this new relationship, did anyone from the church make you feel as if you weren't wanted? Explain more of the you get pushed out.
It's really a lot of things that go on internally, because I was raised in church. I know what the law says I'm raised in it, so I understand. My grandmother, she died a couple of years ago, but my grandmother, she told me, she was like, oh no. Now, we don't do that around here. I'm going to keep praying for a godly husband for you. This is not you. This is not you. You won't be taken down with this. I'm going to keep praying about it, and come here and give me a hug.
Yeah.
And so that's how my aunties were. They know what it says in the Bible. They understand.
Yeah.
They said that. And then they said, all right, now you want some food? What's going on? You want to eat? Sure do. You know?
So it's like they still let you know, like, mm-hmm. we don't agree with this, mm-hmm. but we're going to love you mm-hmm. through this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. They always let me know their position. They always let me know. And it's not them telling me their position. It's them telling me what the Bible says.
Yeah.
So it was just scripture.
Yeah.
But they never shunned me, never left me out of anything.
Yeah.
They literally held my hand and loved me through everything. And they prayed a lot. They prayed a lot. I know they prayed a lot, because I'm telling you, I wouldn't be here if they didn't. So with the New Age though, it's like you get a chance to be like, oh, I don't have anything to do with that. Here's a form of a spiritual practice that accepts everything about me. And I don't have to feel less than. I don't have to feel like I don't belong. I don't have to feel anyway. I'm good. However I am, it's how I'm accepted. And it's encouraged, right? So that's why this is something that I was like, yes, finally. And I get to kind of like make my own things. Like I'm manifesting things. Like I'm making things happen. I'm the one that's doing this. I'm the one that's doing that. It's all about me. They even teach you when you set up an altar, to with your ancestors everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And also a mirror to look at yourself. So it's about self. I'm telling you, it's really about like self.
So the mirror, so the altar that you guys create mm-hmm. is, or you were creating, it was a table.
Mm-hmm.
What was on the table? So the mirror was on the table, mm-hmm. but what else do you have on the table?
You have like charcoal pieces. You have different types of
incense. What was the charcoal like? Explain what each thing.
So the charcoal was to rid the area of any negativity.
Okay.
The incense is because I really believe like you light incense for kind of like the ambiance,
okay.
and to also rid things from any kind of negativity from coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Any of the things to me that had smoke means that you're getting rid of any kind of negativity. You don't want any demonic things coming in. And then you want to set the space for tranquility. That's really what these things are for. Then you have the pictures of your ancestors,
because mm-hmm.
you're going to talk to them.
So those that have passed away,
mm-hmm. those that have passed away, it could be people that you've met, could be people that you've never met. I had pretty much all the people that I knew, except for maybe one I never met, but they were a grandparent.
Yeah.
And you're asking them to intercede on your behalf, because what you do believe is that the universe and your ancestors and the planets and just all the stars, the sun, everything aligns and works together as one. And some people in New Age believe mm-hmm. in one God. Some people believe in multiples. Some people believe in angels. I believe that there was one God and that the ancestors were interceding on my behalf with one true God.
So let me, the picture I'm getting. So with New Age, what you are believing, there's a God, then your way to speak to God is through your ancestors. Mm-hmm. So with Christianity, we have one God, mm-hmm. but then we have Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So with, were the ancestors, like if we were to compare it, was that what they were comparing the ancestors to, is like Holy Spirit?
Yeah, if you kind of put them side by side, yeah, okay. To me, that's really what it was like.
Okay.
Now that I know, you know, more about the Holy Spirit, it's, yeah. You saying that is literally like what it was like. You're talking to angels and you're talking to your ancestors, your grandmother. You're thinking your grandma's up there talking to him for you yeah. and listening to you. And you're really. It's like, oh, y'all, here, go say this. And that's what you're thinking is happening.
Okay.
So, yes. Yeah. And then, you know, I dabble in the witchcraft part. Now, a lot of people say that New Age and witchcraft are exactly the same.
Okay.
The occult, all of it together. Mm-hmm. Some people think that they're separate.
Okay. What did you think?
They say, I don't do witchcraft. Before, I thought it was separate.
Okay.
I'm like, I'm not part of that. I don't do that. Now that I look back on everything in hindsight, yeah, it was. Because if you are reciting spells and lighting specific candles that have all kind of quote unquote magic put into it, if you're doing that, setting up different, you know, points. And just, if you think about it, think about all the movies that we used to watch.
Oh, girl, like, I never liked scary movies.
Okay, but have you ever seen The Craft?
That sounds so familiar. That was like a 1990-something,
yes,
1997.
Nev Campbell. And
you know, I feel as if, as children, we would watch things, but literally, I never liked scary stuff, so mm-hmm. I would close my eyes or leave, because okay. I would have nightmares.
Very smart. You're very smart.
Yes. I will have nightmares. I'll have to go sleep with my sister or my brother, and they'd be like, get out of my room. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, I used to love scary movies.
Okay.
Like, love. Me and Erica, we would go watch scary movies all the time. Those were that's how we bonded over that kind of genre. And now it's different.
Okay.
I'm not really that into it. But, like, literally setting up points and setting up, sacrificing things and burning certain things, writing stuff on paper, burning it, burying it, going out and dropping stuff by railroad tracks. We were doing
I'm going to ask you to go in detail. So number one, what is points? What's that?
So if you're making up like for a ritual or a spell, in the instructions that you, what girl, that you find on Google. Okay, so that's another thing, but in the instructions it says, you know, make it into like a triangle.
Okay.
Or it says make it into, sometimes it says make it into a cross.
Okay.
You know, whatever you're setting up.
Mm-hmm.
You can be setting up pieces of gold or just different things that you're putting in the points.
Okay.
To make it like be, it's very ritualistic.
Yeah.
But
the railroad thing, tell me about that.
Okay, so when you're finished with something, so we, like I would take, like I would buy these spiritual baths from a vendor, from a woman who created them and mm-hmm. added stuff, her own magic and added her own, you know, Haitian thing because she's from Haiti.
Yeah.
She would add her own things in there and sell them. So after you take the bath, it's so many herbs. Mm-hmm. Your bathtub is full of just herbs and stuff. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
So after you take the bath, you're supposed to clear out all the herbs, put it in a certain type of bag, and then you have to drive it mm-hmm. to where a railroad track is and drop it at the railroad tracks. Or you can do it at a four-way cross, like a four-way street.
Yeah.
Because that's part of the ritual.
Mm.
Literally very, very ritualistic. And that's why I feel like now okay, this seems very like witchcrafty.
Yeah.
I don't even want to keep saying like my that I was doing that, but I was.
Yeah.
And that's real life. I was heavy into it, even to where I was making my own dressed candles and selling them to other people.
And you would put your spells mm-hmm. in them.
Mm-hmm.
Would you write your spells?
No. I would speak into them and okay. use certain herbs into them, and I would be the one that's giving the abundance, because especially with New Age, a lot of things are about monetary things.
Okay.
The monetary gain and how to get your set yourself up for success and how to be very successful, and you're gonna make the life that you want to live. And you know, that's what I thought I was doing. That I was the one that was yeah. that was, but really we know that was not the truth. Now we know it was all God, but I never gave him any kind of praise, never gave him any kind of thanks. I thanked myself.
That's what I was going to ask. With all of the rituals and the spells, what did you see from it?
Or
what
working.
Did you think? Okay, mm-hmm. tell me about that.
It was working. I was making more money than I've ever made in my life.
Okay.
Even like in 2021 by itself, I made about $350,000. Mm. And that's I didn't have a job. So I was doing everything like I was working my own business by myself. Erica, of course, Erica was helping because, you know, that was my wife. And we were on top of everything.
Mm.
We had so much money in savings. We had a nice house that we were living in. We had all the latest bags and all the things that we wanted, because these are the things that we were asking for. We were just living it up.
Yeah.
We were traveling, we were doing whatever we wanted to do. And that was part of, you know, the things that we were writing on paper in these rituals and
yeah.
these spells. And so when the stuff was coming and happening, because I'm telling you, the devil's gonna give you some stuff.
Yeah. We know that.
Or he's not going to be the one giving it to you. God's going to give it to you, but devil's going to make you think that it wasn't him.
Because he's conniving.
Because mm-hmm, he's conniving. So it's like, no, don't thank God for that.
Yeah.
You know it was you. It was just you, you know? But it's almost like he's dangling a carrot. Like, you want this? Here you go. And he's always going to, something's always going to give to make you be on his team. And so we were getting all these things. And it was just like, oh, thank you to the universe. The universe, what? Never thanking the true source. And just basically just, I mean, I wasn't donating anything. I wasn't tithing anything. I wasn't giving anything to anybody. I wasn't doing any good.
Did you ever go to church during this time?
I didn't go to church that whole entire time. No. I did go to church in 2022. My sister, she mm-hmm. had been going to the church that I go to now. She's been going there for 10 years.
Okay.
So I did go with her, me and Erica, a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And we liked it. It was very, like, it was an enjoyable time. We felt weird because we feel, you know, a lot of people in the community, in the LGBTQ community, they kind of feel a little displaced at church. Everybody's not going to admit it.
Yeah.
But when you go to church, a lot of times, especially even me, and I'm presenting as a feminine person, I still think people can see the gay on me. And it's like, oh my gosh, they're all looking at me. Oh my gosh. You know,
okay.
And then think about Erica.
Those are the intrusive thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Think about an Erica who's very masculine presenting. Think about her being in church.
Yeah.
And it's just like, she was probably, I don't know how she was feeling, but I know it was probably like, oh, looking at me, you know?
Yeah.
So we liked it. Yes. But we never went like full time and going
yeah.
to service or anything. We weren't doing anything like that. But that was like the only couple of times. But when I feel low, when I felt low, I felt sad, I would turn on my music, my BB and CC, my Milton Brunson, like all my stuff
you
that I
to
grew
gospel
up,
music.
Yeah, that
yeah.
I grew up listening to. That's what made me feel better. And I would be literally crying literally crying real life tears. And I know now that it was always something in the back of my mind saying, hey, maybe you should, you know, go over here. But I just wasn't listening.
So when did you and Erica met, I think you said 2019?
No, we met in 2017. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got together in 2017. When did you get married?
We got married only in February of 2022.
Okay.
Right, like really recent.
Yeah.
Very recent. We ain't even make it 2 years.
And so now you're recently divorced.
Yes. So me and Erica, like I said, really heavily into the, really, really heavily into New Age. And what happened was we got married. Mm-hmm. And then literally right after I got sick. Mm. And I already have type 1 diabetes. So I already have that. That's just something that like a very, very long time of my life since I was very, very young. So this is something that was new that I couldn't understand, and that any of the doctors that I went to, they couldn't figure it out what was wrong. And it was, I'm just going to be honest. It was in this area. So womanly things. So you know, when womanly things start happening, you think it's the end of the world. You're like, do I got cancer? Like all kind of stuff. What is going on? You know, you're stressed. And I was so sick that I was always like, it felt like I was chained to my bed. Mm. And I wasn't working because I was just so, I felt so ill. I felt so, everything was uncomfortable. And then it was very depressing because none of the doctors that I went to could figure out what was wrong with me. Any specialist, no one could figure out. They're like, why does she keep coming back? What is it? They're running test after test after test. I went to the emergency several times, the emergency room. And then, so I was sick for about 14 months. Wow. So our whole entire marriage.
You were sick.
I was sick. And we were just like, what the heck? Of course something's going to attack this area. So not only, you know, we're newly married, but our whole life has just been turned upside down. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And what happened was I ended up in the hospital last year in May for 28 days. I went to the emergency room and I was in the hospital for 28 yeah. days straight. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Really, 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 really sick. Test after test after test, getting put to sleep for these tests. Like they were serious tests. So yeah. No one could figure it out, but I was out of that house for that time, right? Erica's still at the house. She'll come and stay the night sometime at the hospital. But I was out of that house and it was just one random night. I'm just up and I'm sad. And I'm just like, what? And then all I heard was, I need you to come back now.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Audibly.
Wow.
And of course
you're like looking around like, wait, who mm-hmm. said that? It's just me in this room.
Yeah. So, you know, you're like, wait, what? Because I'm never considering going to church.
Yeah.
I'm never considering it. And yeah, I had to be talked to. It was almost like, it's almost like as a parent, like mm-hmm. he had enough. And but he had to get me out of that house for some reason. I feel like a lot of stuff. I feel like I don't know what kind of portals we were opening in there, because one thing about the New Age spirituality, if you're really, really seriously into it and you're doing these spells, you're doing these rituals, you don't know who you're talking to.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going on. And if you believe that that evil exists, then you should know that God exists too. But what happens, a lot of people believe in evil. They believe a lot of stuff is evil.
Yeah.
But they don't believe over here. Like how do you justify that then? So I think he was sick of it at this point. And he was like, you need to come back. Okay. So they get me well enough to leave the hospital so I can be discharged.
Still not knowing what was going on.
Nope. No diagnosis.
Okay.
So they get me well enough to leave. And it was a week later that my family reunion was happening in Jersey with okay. all my elderly aunties.
Yeah.
My pastor uncle with his own big church. So everybody knows what kind of health problems I'm going through. And we get out there and we go to church on the second to last day. We go to my uncle's church and I am being nudged. And I'm just, you know, they're calling people to the altar and I'm being pushed. My leg is shaking like I want forever. Just sitting there shaking. I'm like, what is going on with you? Because I'm used to going, whenever I go to Jersey, we go to church.
It's yeah.
That's nothing new. But I got up and I went to the front and I just heard my auntie screaming. And I said, oh.
Was Erica with you?
No, Erica okay. didn't come.
Okay.
So Erica was still at home. She couldn't get off work at all. She had started a new job.
Okay.
So she wasn't able to come. But my auntie just started screaming. And so I got saved. Okay. I'm still not even knowing what's going on. This is all none of me. It's none of me. So I don't think I made the conscious decision on my own. I think I was just moved to get up and do it. I don't think I made that decision.
So explain that.
I think it was the Holy Spirit that was just like, it was almost like I was being picked up and taken.
And placed at the altar.
Mm-hmm. I don't recall me saying to myself, making a conscious decision, this is something that I want to do right now. I think that the Holy Spirit took control of me at that moment and said, we are moving and we are doing this. So I get saved. But when I went to the back to take that, to say what you need to say mm-hmm. your prayer, I was fully, at that point, I was fully myself. I was like, oh, I'm doing this. Then I made that decision. I'm already back in the room. It's already happened. I'm like, okay, all right, I'm listening. And I go into the room, then all my aunties and uncles lay hands on me. And they bring me up to the front, and it's just me, about 100 people in the place. All my little cousins, baby cousins, hands out like this towards me. Little teeny baby.
Yeah.
Everybody knows what's going on. So it's nothing like I'm not hiding anything. I'm just up there, and I can literally feel demons leaving my body.
What?
Mm-hmm. I can feel them. I breathe them out. And, you know, that's biblical that you can – I breathed it out, and it was hot, and I just, you can hear it, and they're all talking, speaking in tongues, and everybody's just, it is deep. And so right then I was like, okay, something has changed. And I went home. This is in early July,
2023,
mm-hmm, probably like the first week of July. And then July 30th, I got saved. I mean, I got baptized at my sister's church. And then, wow. since the second week of July, I've not missed a single Sunday at church till now. Wow. I haven't even watched online. And I've been going to that church, and I became a member, and I serve, I do all kinds of stuff. But it was, so Erica's still at home. I went to go stay with my mother mm-hmm. because she had a studio. Now at me and Erica's house, it was 7 bedrooms, lots of stairs. I wow. just got out of the hospital, being in the hospital yeah. for 28 days. My mom was like, you need somewhere that you can literally turn around and be sitting in the same spot. You can't be going up and down stairs. She's yeah. at work. You can't be doing all that. So I went and stayed with my mom. And, you know, me and Erica, we just did date night. We just, you know, whatever, we were just back and forth. And during this time, at the same time, one of Erica's friends that she hadn't talked to in like 5 years
mm-hmm.
just called her out of nowhere and said she had a dream about her. And said, I had a dream about you. And I asked you in the dream, hey, Erica, how can you believe in God but practice divination? And they had a conversation. And Erica, the night before, Erica yeah. had a dream about 7 trash bags the night before. And Erica's dreams are very vivid all the time.
Mm-hmm.
She had a dream about 7 black trash bags the night before. Didn't know what it meant.
Yeah.
So then the next day, this girl just reached out of nowhere. So she had that conversation. And Erica said something clicked. It was so quick. It was like a switch. And she literally repented to God, whom she didn't have a real relationship with,
yeah.
but it was instantly with this friend of hers who was a Christian. And she just, all the stuff that we had in our house,
mm-hmm.
I'm talking thousands and thousands of dollars of stuff. And she gathered up everything, all the Buddha statues,
yeah.
any and everything you can think of, she gathered everything and put it in the trash.
Wow.
And had 7 trash bags.
What? Mm-hmm. So basically the dream that she had mm-hmm. foretold what was about to happen the next day, mm-hmm. like literally the next day.
And she said she couldn't predict that. Nobody could have paid her millions of dollars to predict that was going to happen. It was no way, not with Erica. She was so, so heavily into it, way more than me. And that was her turning point. And then she said, hey, I'm going to come to church. And I said, okay. I'm like, yes.
So let me understand. So you went to Jersey for the family reunion. Mm-hmm. You had a deliverance. Mm-hmm. Like you didn't plan it. You know, it just happened. Mm-hmm. You got delivered. You went, that was the first week of July. You went home the second week. Mm-hmm. You started going to your sister's church. You mm-hmm. never stopped. then the end of July, you were baptized. Mm-hmm. So in the midst of this, you were back at your mom's house. So you and Erica were still married and together.
Mm-hmm. Still okay. doing date nights, still going to the weddings that we had planned, you know, wedding dates, different stuff. And it was during this interim, I want to say between July and August, mm-hmm. where she had that conversation and then she started coming to church.
Okay.
So now we're going to church on Sundays. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, what? This is what she didn't even know that she was missing.
Wow.
So now we're like, not only are we having our date night, but now we're meeting up at church too. And we're like talking about, we're going to lunch after, we talk about everything. And so we're living separately. That's the thing. Yeah. We're living separately, but we're still together. But there was a work being put into both of us separately at the same time that neither one of us knew was going on. She is having these thoughts of, I don't know about this lesbian thing. Okay. So she's having those thoughts on her own. Me, I'm going to a conference and my pastor's wife is teaching us how to hear God and how to hear his voice audibly. And she's teaching us how to do this. So I'm learning how to do it. And she's like, now, whatever he tells you, write it down.
Okay.
I'm thinking, I'm not going to hear this. Not thinking about how the hospital I did here. Right. And I'm like, that was just a one-off. And clear as day, you are not a lesbian. Wait, what? I wrote it down. Okay. What? Now, come on now. Like, you also just love me and love me. What in the world? No. Okay. So I write it down. I don't say anything to Erica about it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bring this up to her, and I don't even know what the heck is going on myself. So one time we go to church. And we leave church, and then she starts telling me, you know, I'm thinking about, and I said, oh my gosh, me too. And I didn't even know it was me thinking about it. So we're like, wait, what? You too? We're both thinking about that we're not supposed to be lesbians, both of us. And one time we were at church and we had a speaker that day, and it was John Bevere. And he was talking about, the Holy Spirit, and how everywhere he goes, when he speaks in a large audience, that you can feel the Holy Spirit in the room. And it's like very profound, almost like an airplane landing. So everybody's looking at each other like, we're like, okay, it ain't gonna happen here. You know, this is regular church.
Yeah.
Oprah, let me just tell you, the Holy Spirit showed up in the most thickest way possible that you could almost breathe it in.
Wow.
And it was so thick that the whole place erupted, and just there were people, it was deliverance going on in different spots of the church.
Yeah.
And we have a really big, it's big. Mm-hmm. So all you hear is a lot of wailing, and you can hear the deliverance, you can feel it so much that your heart is just beating. And Erica and I looked at each other, we're sitting right next to each other, we look at each other, and we're both of us in so much tears, having our own journey during that time. And we just nodded. We didn't say anything. We just nodded at each other. And it was that was our moment of saying, we're not doing this anymore. We never spoke it to each other. We never really talked about it like that. All she said was later, okay, so I'm going to go ahead and file the papers.
Wow.
And we're going to go ahead and get divorced. And I said, yes, we are. And we got it before the year ended. It was done.
Wow. So you are officially divorced.
Mm-hmm. Since December. Mm-hmm. And now we just meet each other every week at church, and I still cook food, send it over to her mom's. And, you know, we do, like, you know, sometimes we do a couple family things, but we see each other at church, and then we talk to each other, Bible study, prayers, stuff like that. We have become still ourselves, still, because essentially we were always best friends. But we removed the sexual, the romantic part out of it. It is still hard because it's still fresh and it's still new. And sometimes I'll have a day where I'm just like, you know, cause I'm supposed to be somebody's wife.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to be no single lady. That's not me. And I was very much wifed up. So you go from being a wife to like, what? Now you're just single and you got to go out here and try to date men. I'm not interested. I don't know how y'all doing it. It's rough out here. So But you have that person to bounce things off. Now it's just like, all right, so what you got going on? Well, what you got going on?
Yeah.
Well, girl, nothing. But, you know, we can talk about it now. But it's actually, it was so fast. Everything happened so rapidly that it's almost unbelievable when you think about it.
Yeah, as I'm listening to this timeline, I'm like, Holy Spirit came in and wrecked the both of you guys.
I mean,
there was no slowing down. The thing I love about our relationship with Christ is there is like a speed when God's hand is in something, mm-hmm. he don't waste time. Mm-hmm. It's like literally go time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you heard that voice in the hospital, mm-hmm. like it was basically saying, okay, you ready now?
Mm-hmm.
You ready? Then you go to that church and your leg is shaking and you're feeling like you were like literally planted
yeah.
at the altar. It's like, if I give you one moment to think, the enemy is going to come in and say, no, mm-hmm. she's mine,
mm-hmm.
but you're not,
mm-hmm.
you're God. So when you were, you know, in New Age, you were married, I'm sure you guys created a community mm-hmm. around those things.
Mm-hmm. We did.
Okay. So now that you guys are, because y'all are both out of New Age, y'all are both not lesbians, you're mm-hmm. not married, what happened with the community you formed?
Oh, it's gone. Okay. And I'm, whoo, girl, gone. That is the sad part.
Mm.
And if there's anything that's sad that has happened, is you spend so much time with so many different people. People come to your wedding and they eat. We serve ribeyes at our wedding. I'm just gonna let everybody know.
What?
We serve ribeyes. Okay. Our wedding cost about $75,000 and we paid for it cash with no credit card.
Wow.
And you have these people at your wedding eating steak, medium rare.
Yeah.
And they don't want to speak to you. What we could have done, we very well could have come out of New Age, come out of the LGBTQ community, just got a divorce. And said we were just going to be friends. And we could have shut up.
Yeah.
We really, really could have.
And not tell anybody.
And not said anything about everything
yeah.
else. We could have just went to church and just chilled.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine. You know, okay, wow. Where do you think they got divorced? Because, you know, what happened? But really, I feel like God was like, nuh-uh. I need you to go out here and say stuff. And talking to us and saying, I need you to be my mouthpiece
yeah.
because this right here, this is me. And I need people to know that it's me. Erica, not so much. Erica got a job teaching at a Christian academy. This happened right before she even became a Christian. So she wasn't even a Christian yet. And
yeah.
she randomly got offered a job teaching. She's never thought she was going to teach. I have been telling her she needed to teach.
Yes.
I knew she was a teacher. She didn't know. She got her back got put in, you know, basically she was in a bind.
Yeah.
And she thought she was going to have this opportunity and it didn't work. So now she has to take this job.
Yeah.
She said it's the best thing that ever happened to her.
Wow.
That girl is a teacher through and through. Wow. She loves it. Everybody loves her. She has found her place. And it just so happened to be at a Christian academy. That even when she signed the papers, it said that you can't be out here being a lesbian or nothing. It says that on the paper.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And she just signed it. She didn't even know that that was about to happen.
In a couple of weeks. Yeah.
She had no clue. So, like, Erica, not so much being just, you know, talking and saying her story. Me, it's way too many things for me to shut up. I mean, come on now. Prison. The whole story with my dad that happened, that I have a whole different dad that I never knew about, like different stuff about
yeah.
me that has happened, that has shown up in the last year and a half, that everything has like come together. So many different things have happened. I couldn't shut up.
Yeah.
And people are trying to make me shut up, and people, you know, they'll play to your insecurities and they'll say, oh, well, you know, just all kinds of stuff. People are making videos about me.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. And the same people have been in my house.
Wow.
So it's an interesting time.
Yeah.
It's sad. But again, with the New Age thing, with even, you know, being a part of the LGBTQ community, a lot of it is about self. And if you attack that and you say, well, I can't do what I want to do, and you say why, then people are going to be upset.
Yeah.
That's just, and I just have to deal with it. It's really, it has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
So I have to make sure that I understand that it has nothing to do with me.
It doesn't.
And everything to do with themselves and everything to do with really the devil.
Yeah. And speaking of the devil, when you were practicing New Age so heavily, did you ever see manifestations of Satan?
So we also did shrooms. So we did mushrooms.
Okay.
Psychedelic drugs.
Okay.
So we did shrooms one time, and there's a young lady that we associated with. She's fantastic. And she has a relationship with God, but she can see different things. Mm-hmm. So she, you know how some people, God gives us a sense of sight.
Mm-hmm.
And she did the shrooms with us, mm-hmm. and I gave her the proper dose this time, because we did them before with her, but she didn't have the proper dose, so she didn't really feel any of the effects of it.
Yeah.
So we do it again at our house. This is January 6th, 2023, the day that I got my hair all cut off. I did the big chop. And we do the shrooms, and we're just chilling. We're coming up with realizations. You know, we're like, wow. Because when you do shrooms, it literally strips your ego. In order to understand a lot of things, your ego has to go bye-bye.
Yeah.
For you to understand things, for you to make conscious decisions of different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But so we're having this shroom experience, and all of a sudden she goes, "Ooh, I gotta go." Now, when you do shrooms, you can't go. There's no driving.
Yeah.
It's such a psychedelic drug that it really alters your perception of a lot of things. You might be able to drive high on weed,
mm-hmm.
maybe.
Yeah.
You might be able to drive a little drunk, mm-hmm. maybe, right? Psychedelic drugs, you do not do that. It'll look like you're in a sci-fi movie.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And it'll look real, your perception is messed up.
Yeah.
So I was like, no, you cannot go anywhere. You have to stay here until the high goes down. And it was just random all of a sudden. So we weren't having a problem or nothing. So I was just like, wait, what? You can't go anywhere. And she goes, no, I got to go. I've got to go. And she was so adamant about it. She literally left. I was so stressed out and worried. So I said to Erica, something said to me, oh, it has something to do with you. So I said, it has something to do with me. And Erica was like, well, what? Nothing happened. So we're both perplexed. I was like, this is wait until the high comes down. We'll talk about it after.
Yeah.
We wait until it comes down. We call her. She's not answering. We're like, wait, what? What is going on? What happened?
Yeah.
It wasn't until a couple days later that she actually told us what happened. And we finally got it out of her. She wasn't going to say anything. She was going to act like everything was just like, oh, what? I don't remember that.
Yeah.
You know? So she goes, Tiffany, there were demons behind you with their hands on you, saying that I needed to get out of the house because you belong to them, and I can't be in here speaking any life into you and saying anything to you that was positive. There was nothing. I had to go. They were literally, it was like you were like arms on me, like, no, no, she belongs to us. And I totally 1000% believed her. I didn't believe her at that time.
Yeah.
I said, what? No, I love this house.
Yeah.
What do you mean? But the house was drowning me, Oprah.
Wow.
The house was causing me to be chained to my bed. I wasn't leaving my bed. I wasn't going into my office. I wasn't working. I wasn't doing a thing. If you even go back to that time period on my Instagram, and I leave these videos up on purpose.
Yeah.
You go back there, you'll see all the reels that I was doing in my room and in my bed, because that's where I was confined. And something was going on in that house. I don't know what, like I said, I don't know what we opened up, what happened, what with these spells and these rituals and stuff that we're doing. I don't know what we opened up, but something took a hold of me. And that's why I said when my aunties and stuff, when they did the deliverance for me, I could feel things coming out. I know for a fact, I'm talking about sounds in the walls, just things that you think, oh, it's just, you know, it's just a knock. Oh, it's just the wind.
Wow.
It's not. There's different things that were really taking a hold of me specifically, trying to keep me in this space of just despair.
I was going to say torture, it sounded like.
It was torture of the mind. I was I had to see a therapist. Seriously, everybody needs to see a therapist. But it wasn't working for me.
Yeah.
Because it was just horrible. They had to put me on medication. It was just bad. It wasn't working for me as it should have been.
Yeah.
It's not until like now that I'm working with God, with church, and my Black Christian therapist.
Okay.
That things are making sense.
I love that.
Yeah.
You know, I am an advocate for Christian therapy mm-hmm. as a Christian therapist myself. Mm-hmm. There's just certain things that it's just different. Mm-hmm. You just get certain things. Yes, mental health is so real, mm-hmm. but I'm an advocate for mental health and faith mm-hmm. because I believe they go hand in hand.
Yes. When you combine the two, right now, I'm telling you, I should probably be at home crumpled on the floor. And I say this all the time, especially the stuff that's going on in my life right now, which is real, still kind of crazy. I'm in this real space of limbo that I was once here doing this, making all this, doing all this. Now I'm in this space of, okay, God, what's up? Because I'm not in control anymore. And to relinquish control and to say, you're going to have to tell me what I'm going to do. And you're just sitting around waiting.
Yeah.
It's rough. And really, I should be very, very messed up going through a divorce. Like, especially the word divorce is already sad. We're going through a divorce for a good reason, but it's still a divorce. You're still breaking up. You're still losing your person in that manner. So it's still sad. But girl, I wake up and I'm just like, oh, what a great day.
Wow. It's like that just nice. Peace that surpasses all understanding.
You know, I don't even get it. And I laugh sometimes.
Wow.
I laugh to myself in the car as I'm looking at some butterfly flying in front of me. It's like, oh, you know, and it's very like, it's surreal, really. It really is. It's really crazy. And I can't describe it. And I think that a lot of people who may be interested in leaving New Age, may be interested in going to see what's going on at church, maybe want to see what Christ is about. They're so focused on like the end game. So it's like, if I was sitting here talking to you and I was like this multimillionaire and I have like, you know, 5 cars and I travel and I do all this stuff. Oh, and God has helped me and brought me through all that. They will believe me more. But because all I'm saying is all I got is some peace.
Yeah.
And all I have is my sanity. And I have so much love and I'm volunteering now and I'm like doing, and it's just like, that's what I've got going on right now. And I am in a happy space. For some people, that's not enough.
Yeah. It's a lot of materialistic things, right? Mm-hmm. Like we believe that there's a God when we see things. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, when you were in prison, you're praying like, get me out of here. Mm-hmm. Like God is a genie. Mm-hmm. We expect that. Like we don't want to spend the time with him. We don't want to pray. We don't want to do anything concerning him, but oh, when we're in a need, mm-hmm. where are you, God? Mm-hmm. And see, that's why I don't believe in you mm-hmm. because you didn't help me now. Mm-hmm. Like you're never here. And it's just like, but a relationship is a two-way street. Mm-hmm. If you're dating someone and you never talk to them, then one day you just wake up and be like, hey, I need something. Mm-hmm. Do you think that person is going to be running like, but the thing I love about Christ is it's like, no matter how far we get away from God, because mm-hmm. we remove ourselves from mm-hmm. God. He is a constant. He stays. We are always in his peripherals. Like mm-hmm. he can see us everywhere we go, mm-hmm. right? It's like he does not take his eye off of us. Mm-hmm. But we get further and further back mm-hmm. with our sin. Mm-hmm. And another thing about sin is no sin is like greater than the other. Mm-hmm. Sin is sin, mm-hmm. you know?
I really, truly believe that. 24/7, I am saying I am gay and I am a lesbian and I am doing all kinds of lesbian things all the time in this relationship. And then I decide to get into a covenant. You know, in the Bible says that, you know, marriage is supposed to be between a man and a woman. You have to really explicitly, even if you don't believe the things about the LGBTQ and all that, even if you don't believe that it's really a sin, look at what it says about marriage. So we entered this marriage. So now we're doing this sin as well. And I had to really, you know, I had to come to grips with that. And I had to understand that, because otherwise I'll just, you know how much easier it is just to do me?
Yeah.
How much more simple, and how I could just live my life and just be fine and just do whatever. Now I got to be out here. Like, it's rough to come out of that. And then just to be like, oh my gosh, all the backlash too. And then I have to be like single, and then I have to think about dating men, which I just never wanted to do. And just like, so it's a lot. And if I really wanted to, I could just go back and just do whatever I wanted to do. But guess what? I can't do that.
Yeah.
Because I have found the light. I can't do it. It's just, it's out of my hands now.
And the thing is, temptation is going to be there. Mm-hmm. Temptation is always going to be lurking. Mm-hmm. But we really do have a choice. Like, God has given us free will. And though he gives us that free will, he still expects us to choose him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing about Christianity that kind of gets people, is we have a choice, but the choice should be the right choice. Mm-hmm. And it should be us choosing God. Mm-hmm. Because, or Jesus, we're going to get our purpose is going to be fulfilled on this earth, right? Mm-hmm. Either you're going to go the easy way, or you're going to go through the hills, the valleys, the rivers, the up, the down, the side, the side. But mm-hmm. it's like, when you get to where you need to be, it's just a sense of freedom. Mm-hmm. And I feel like people need to embrace freedom over anything. Growing up, my dad would always say this to us. And I don't even know if I've mentioned it on the podcast before, but he would say, he would say it just like this, the more you want, the more you lose. Mm-hmm. And I never understood what that meant. Mm-hmm. I used to be like, what are you talking about? And why do you keep saying that?
Right.
But it is so true. The more we want in our life, the more we lose, mm-hmm. you know, because it's like, you can't keep up with everything. Mm-hmm. You're always chasing after the next. Mm-hmm. So if you want more money, what are your losses? Mm-hmm. Time with family, mm-hmm. health.
Yeah.
It's just time in general, mm-hmm. right? The more you want, the more you lose. And it's like with God, it's like with Jesus Christ, we don't have to want more. Like, he's given us the more. Mm-hmm. By just saving us, you know, by forgiving us, by his mercies every single day, like new mercies every single day. Mm-hmm. Like, who does that?
Right.
Like, how many times can we like just slap God in the face, basically, but he is still there when we are ready to die to our flesh? Mm-hmm. Because as you're talking about new age and self, everything is self, self, self. Mm-hmm. But with Christianity, we're told to die to ourselves, mm-hmm. and pick up the cross. Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's almost like you're in an abusive relationship where you're the abuser.
Mm.
Like, he's just always good and just the perfect little lamb. And we're just over here badgering and what are we doing?
Yeah.
And it's rough. And sometimes I wake up and, you know, the devil can get in my head and be like, you could just, you know.
Yeah.
You could just go on back and tell everybody, sigh, just kidding. I just, you know, was doing, you know, what you could just do that and just be over it and just do everything that you want to do.
Yeah.
Mm-mm, I can't. The walk is very narrow. And it's been said a trillion and trillion times. It's very narrow to walk in faith. To walk with Jesus is very narrow. Yeah. The road to hell is very, 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 very wide. Mm. And I just, you know, I want people to think about, you know, who's the best person that you know. 9 times out of 10, when you think about the best person you know, it is probably someone who is, oh, my granny.
Yeah.
Or, you know, my mom. She's so, dead. Oh my gosh, she loved God. And just, even if you're not a Christian, that a lot of times that's the best person that you know. And you have to sit here and think, now that person has passed on. And that person is gone.
Yeah.
And let's say Jesus came back next week. Mm-hmm. And you just get left. And she's just looking waiting and thought she was praying and hoping and wishing, and you get left and you don't get to see her again. You got to think about stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because like it or not, when we leave here, that ain't the end, because this is such a short little run, such a short, very, very short little time. It's like an instant. It's over. You have to think about what's going to be going on after
eternity.
For people to really truly believe that once we die, that's it, and we're just dead and that's it. Very, very, again, that's the ego. That even that is about self.
Yeah.
So you just think that you don't ever have to like answer for anything, that you just get to do whatever you want to do. When you die, and then that's it. Done. I'm just dead and then it's over.
Yeah.
No, that's not the way it goes.
Yeah.
It's really not. And then all your people, all the people that you love, they all get to be all together having a grand old time forever.
Yeah.
And you're just not a part of it. And that's
real. Mm-hmm. That's real to look at it like that. Cause as believers of Christ, we understand that eternity is after this. That's after this life.
We're working up now. What we're working up now is to work up. Where are we going to be at? How close are we going to be to Jesus? Like that's a reward that is actually there. How close we get to be to where he lives. How close can we get? So you're working up stuff now. I don't care if I don't ever make $1 million here, because I have to work up. I want to see when I get up there, the after effects. So the different souls that are lined up because I helped them come to Christ. That's what I want to see.
Yeah,
I want to see that. Now that's a reward. That's really something. But yeah, thinking about your best person, you always have to wonder, like seriously, wonder. Your best person, you know who they are, you know what they believe. Even though you don't believe it like they believed it, what if it is true?
Yeah.
What if Jesus is real?
Yeah.
What if God is for real?
Yeah.
Okay. What if? What does it hurt you to act right?
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, he is. He is as real gets.
Yeah.
So, I mean, your journey really, and I know there's so much that you have to tell. And I know you're going to definitely come back on this couch because there's so much to unpack, but there's such little time. But for the things that you shared today, it's like so powerful. And I really do pray at least one person hears your story and it's a wake up call for them. Mm-hmm. You know, one person that's dabbling in New Age and all these other stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, it's time for me to wake up. Mm-hmm. So I want to know though, what would you tell someone that is struggling right now between this life of self, this new age? Because again, like you said, you guys were getting all the things. Mm-hmm. Y'all were making the money. You were casting the spells. It was working. Mm-hmm. What would you tell someone like that, that has this feeling, this urge inside that has not said anything, like something is not right. Mm-hmm. I'm missing something. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like listening to your story, that was like a feeling you had. Mm-hmm. I felt like
God was
always there. Mm-hmm. Like Jesus never left you.
No.
You
that's,
know?
That's because of prayer from other people. It didn't even have anything to do with me. And I want to tell that person, whoever they are, that somebody is praying for you.
Wow.
And that's something. You can't bank on it, but I'm telling you, you can bank on
it. Yeah.
Someone is praying for you, but you have to make that step. I look back at these Facebook posts that I used to make about how Jesus isn't real, about how Jesus is a fable, all kinds of stuff that I used to think, because I told myself that, because how dare you? I literally thought this, how dare you make me gay? How dare you, you know, do this and take this person away from me? How dare you? What? Ravished with cancer? How dare you blame God all the time for all sorts of stuff? You blame him. There's evil in the world God didn't create.
Yeah.
Right? But you still blame. And then you're upset. So what I would say to anyone, or to anyone who's even, you know, sitting there on the fence, I was there. I was you. I literally understand every single thing that you're thinking right now. And I don't want you to get to the point where I had to literally be at the lowest of low, at the most rock bottom place in order to climb. But guess what? Sometimes for the people that are going to carry the gospel, for the people that are going to carry his word, he probably does have to break them down.
Yeah.
Or it's not him breaking them down. The devil has broken you down. And now he's like, let me go ahead and use that for me.
Yes.
Because he has to come in and pick you up. So I don't want you to get to that point of all the way broken down. If you are stable right now and you're you know, and you feel like, ooh, something's not right. You feel this nag.
Yeah.
And you don't know exactly what it is. Maybe your health is bad. Maybe you're just going through like a hard time and you're just like, sometimes, I've never had that sickness again.
What?
Yeah.
So it just went away.
It just went away. And the doctors were just like, wow. They would call me and want to do the same test. I'm like, and they're like, nope, it's not coming back up. Yeah. Never again after that stay in June.
Wow.
My family is always just like, they know what it is, but they're still in awe sometimes. They're just like, this girl was visiting me in there. Just the doctors just coming in and out, poking me, having huge pick lines, just lines of things in my arm. Just like, it was a rough time for my family because they couldn't, nobody could say anything. Nobody knew what was going on.
Yeah.
But you know, I've never had that illness come back.
Wow.
So
that's how you know spiritual things are real.
That's what I'm trying to say. Spiritual things can manifest as illness.
Yeah.
I'm not saying every single illness can be a manifestation of a problem, of a demon. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is things that can attack you, can attack your body, it can happen. And if you're just a person who's just like, well, what? I don't got nothing else to lose.
Yeah.
Let me see what this Jesus is about. My grandma said, try God.
Try God.
My grandma was like, look, you should just try Jesus. You know, it's just like, you just try it. Just try and see.
Yeah.
And seriously, you're gonna struggle. Because I really truly believe that with Jesus, it's a lot of struggle. It's a lot of struggle. being a Christian is going to be strife. But you have to look at how Jesus was treated. He didn't have nothing easy at all.
Like, so he gets it. He knows what we're going through.
Yeah,
pain.
He understands.
He knows pain more than anyone.
He knows pain, you know? Disease, anything you think of, he's been there.
People rejecting you, like they rejected Jesus, mocked Jesus, spit on him. Like, I mean, did the most lowest things.
Mm-hmm.
So we really do, it's like, we do have a friend in God. Mm-hmm. Like we have a friend in Christ because he just gets it.
Yeah, he just understands. He understands everything that you're going through. You can't, it's just like, you know, like a parent who's been there, done that. Why are you coming to tell me? I already told you not to do that.
Yeah.
You got to think about like the love that a parent has for you. A good parent. Let me just say that. Because, you know, some people are like, I'm not my mom. Okay. The love that a good parent has for their child. You have to think about that times like a million. That's how.
A trillion.
Like, seriously. You have to think about that level. That's how much you are loved and cared for.
Yeah.
And you can't be like, well, how can God do this? Well, if God is here, then who made God? You can't be all that stuff.
Yeah.
We don't know. And don't come to no Christians talking about, well, what if people like to come and just ask all kind of questions. You know what you can do? You can read the Bible.
And I'm telling you, like, Christ will reveal himself to you. The Holy Spirit will reveal himself. As you said, what happened to you in that hospital room at church, this sickness going away, you know, it's like with your deliverance, it's like everything was delivered, you know, but it's like you literally tried God.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what if I just gave him a chance? Mm-hmm. What if I just seen what this Jesus is about? Mm-hmm. You know? And I think it's amazing. And again, it is that peace. Mm-hmm. Like where I am in my life, Tiffany, I just want peace. Mm-hmm. Whatever that looks like to Oprah, that is what I want. You know? Because peace is a feeling that you cannot put in words. Mm-hmm. Like we say the word peace, but it can't equate to what we're actually mm-hmm. feeling. And that peace that comes from above, it's like no other peace. Yeah. It's just, it's unexplainable, mm-hmm. but God's love is just unwavering. Mm-hmm. It abounds so much, mm-hmm. like it just envelopes us. And I pray that everyone gets to experience what you and I experience. Mm-hmm. when it comes to Christ. And I'm so glad that I have a sister in you. You are my sister.
Yes.
You've always had such amazing personality, mm-hmm. you know, and you said it like you, I think you mentioned earlier, you're a mouthpiece, mm-hmm. you know, so don't shut up.
No, I can't. And that's messed up sometimes. Yeah. Thanks God. But, but seriously, like, well, okay. Yeah. Could have been anybody else.
Yeah.
But me, I gotta be the one. But you know, that's yeah. you got to pick up your cross. This yeah. is what you got to do. So you just got to do what we're called to do.
And he's
just
like,
you're doing what
you.
You're called to do right
yes.
now.
Yes. And I love, thank you. And I love this. You know, Holy Spirit's like, this is what we're going to do. I'm like, are you sure? Mm-hmm. I don't know how to edit. We come with all the excuses.
Man, over and over.
But he makes it work. Mm-hmm. Like he makes it work. And so I just pray, and we're going to pray to end it, but I just pray that God just continues revealing himself to you every single day. Mm-hmm. Like it's like you're in this love story. Mm-hmm. This what do they call those little rom-com thing?
Rom-com.
You know, mm-hmm. rom-com, like that you're just that God just continues to favor you.
Yeah.
Because like you said, it's been hard. You've lost friends. Mm-hmm. You've lost that community that you built, but just keep going because you never know. It could literally be one single thing. Mm-hmm. that has somebody coming back to you or because they're convicted. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't want to be around her. She gives me this weird feeling. I don't like feeling bad about myself, mm-hmm. but it's like, no, that's righteous rebuke.
Look, and I'm not even saying that because I love all of y'all.
Yeah.
I don't even care how
and
much
we do.
I don't care how much you don't like me.
Yeah.
I love every single, none of my feelings have changed. Yeah. I will. It's all about respect.
Yeah.
Okay. You're married to a woman. I will respect you in yeah. your relationship. I'm not that type of person. Like, guess what? You shouldn't. I'm not going to do that. Yeah. I'm just going to live my life, tell my truth.
Yeah.
And if anybody gets something from it, they do.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to treat you any differently. And I want people to understand that the views that I have, they've been placed in me. They didn't come from anywhere. They didn't come from a man or a woman telling me yeah. something. It came from me just having an understanding yeah. and reading of the word and really being convicted of on my own. Look, I was convicted in prison and I'm convicted in Christ now, right? Convicted,
yeah.
convicted squared. So it's just like, that's all it is. It's yeah. it's conviction. It's just like, oh, this is what you said. Let me take it seriously. That's it.
Yeah.
Still love y'all though.
Yeah. And that's all you can do mm-hmm. because literally through it all, God does not take his love from nope. us. He doesn't.
He wants us to love.
Yeah.
Period. Like we have yeah. to do more things in love. So
yep.
that's
the
be,
greatest commandment.
Yeah.
Of
that's
them all.
That's my platform is just doing things in love.
Yes. Well, thank you so much again for just coming and just sharing your story. Like I said, you're definitely going to be back. Mm-hmm. But let's just go to the Lord in prayer.
Yeah.
Father God, I just tell you, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for allowing Tiffany to just come on here and share her testimony. Father God, what a powerful testimony she has. Lord, I just pray right now, and I just ask that you cover her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet in the blood of Jesus. Father God, may favor supersede everything in her life. Your favor, Father God. May who she is called to and what she is called to come to fruition now in the mighty name of Jesus. May she know that she was created on purpose, for purpose, and any type of warfare against her will not distract nor discourage her, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. So I just tell you, thank you right now for your daughter. And I thank you for the souls that she is bringing to the kingdom of God, Father God. So I just tell you, thank you for just using her like never before. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. No problem. Thank you. Okay, guys, until next time. Bye.